So I've got a question for Elise.
Oh.
You have what appears to be a fanny pack?
Yeah. Where have you been? Well, they're back.
They're back? But you don't wear it as a fanny pack.
No, it's like a crossbody bag.
What was wrong with the fanny pack?
Yeah.
You know, in comparison.
How is the fanny
Besides,
pack?
Besides, obviously, the look.
Right. Yeah, it's just... yeah, so I think that this is a cross-section of convenience and not looking...
Like you're wearing a fanny
super
pack?
Super stupid.
That's why I just have... pockets.
That's right.
We have wanted pockets for probably centuries at this point.
Forget equal pay. Give us pockets.
Pockets and equal pay.
Break
so
through
we can put
that
pay in our pockets.
Break through that denim ceiling.
We can't give you pay because you have nowhere to put it because your pockets are so small.
Oh,
so
yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Jay Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Just for quick clarity, I'm all for equal pay and full-size pockets.
Yeah, thank you for saying so, that. People are going to be like, wow.
I want to go back.
Pastor David's a real sexist.
Hold on here.
That's the takeaway.
Everybody should have whatever size pockets they want and be paid
a fair
wage.
We did establish last week we talked about our sexism based on Dr. Pepper.
That's true.
You talked about your what?
Sexism based on Dr. Pepper. That we've both errantly assumed that Dr. Pepper was a man.
Didn't even cross my mind that Dr. Pepper could be a woman.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It didn't cross your mind either,
it
did it?
No,
yeah,
now
see?
I feel like I've...
The patriarchy is strong in this
one.
I know.
I know. I'm an unknowing soldier for the patriarchy over here.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
It's insidious, right? Yeah. Man, it's Halloween week.
Yeah.
It is.
That's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween week, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody got their costumes sorted?
Probably not.
Yes. Ordered the boys' costumes. Well,
okay.
I'm going to make one, but for Tim. But
yeah.
But everything's good to go.
Got my
trunk ready. Got a magic trick for my trunk, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah.
I had to make it.
All out.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about you? You got your costume ready?
So not mine. I just got my daughter's sorted this morning.
Nice.
Okay. So, yeah. What's she going to be? A banana?
Taylor Swift.
All
that's
right.
A popular one.
Swifty. Yeah.
Like
right.
a cheerleader?
We cut bangs in her hair this week.
Oh,
She like kind of looks like Taylor Swift now.
Yeah.
And she went to school and everybody told her she looked like Taylor Swift and she was over the moon.
There
and
you
said,
go. Loved it.
I smell a cheap costume.
Sure. Can't go wrong with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you or Michael going to be Travis Kelce?
Is she going to be dating her parents? That'd be weird.
Yeah. No, Michael's going to be a dad whose daughter is Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Mr. Swift.
Said, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Good
yes,
for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's going to be father of Taylor Swift. Yes.
Swift Senior.
What's Swift Senior's name? Do we know?
Nobody cares.
Does he exist?
He's like a producer.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's also an election season.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk maybe a little bit about that.
She got in the car after school yesterday and said, ugh,
Taylor Swift?
Gray. She said, I got hit with a big dose of politics today.
You're a fourth grader?
I know. I was like, oh, I really feel you.
What politics was she hit by? I'm curious.
She goes to school in Conroe, so everybody's into Trump up in that neck of the woods, you know.
Sure.
So, and she's, you know, Gray, she's a little... She's not so into the Trump, and
even as a fourth grader.
Yeah, even
like,
as a fourth grader, she really
this.
Identifies with not being into Trump. So,
well, she's into Taylor Swift, and you know,
right.
That's
right.
You know,
T Swift says no.
You got to pick a side.
Yes, yeah. Yes, Trump v Swift.
Yeah.
Wow, the election nobody knew we didn't need.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up in November,
mm-hmm.
Once the election is behind us.
Okay. Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving, we got something, you know, launching here.
Okay,
and that's from our friends over at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, our friends.
What's Chick-fil-A launching for us? Is it a turkey fillet for Thanksgiving?
It's a streaming service.
Oh,
what?
Chick-fil-A streaming. Okay,
hold on. It's like Hallmark Channel
for chicken.
Right.
Yeah, So they're announcing a new app called Chick-fil-A-Play.
Good lord, they really stretched for that
Chick-fil-A.
One.
Chick-fil-A-Play.
Okay.
Yeah, it needs some work.
Yeah. Work on that brand.
Yeah. Video content, games, and
Click
more.
Filet. Click Filet. Click Filet. Been amazing.
There you go. Well done.
Thanks.
We did it in 30 seconds, Chick Filet. Send royalties too.
Okay. It's designed for families to enjoy while eating a meal.
So you don't have family time. You just continue to have more screen time. Which you were doing at your house, presumably, already before you left.
Yeah, we didn't need Chick-fil-A to do that for us.
Yeah.
We had that on lock,
right.
That Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. We've already got our screen time sorted. Thank you.
Yes.
Yikes.
Are you interested in the Chick-fil-A app here?
No.
No. But I am curious, like, what's on it? Like, is this the idea of, like, all wholesome content or some junk like
I'm
that?
I'm sure
or, like,
it's what, gotta be. Yuck. None of us want wholesome content.
Or is it going to be, like, all, like, Chick-fil-A documentaries? Like, here's how Chick-fil-A's chickens are treated better than Popeye's chickens. I don't know.
Did you say alright Chick-fil-A documentaries? What did you say?
Alt-right Chick-fil-A.
I did not say alt-right. I said that they're all going to be
alt-right
Chick-fil-A.
Chicken documentaries.
I did not say alt-right chicken. I don't know what an alt-right chicken documentary would be, but no, that's not what I said.
Okay. Well, you can watch some original animated shows, including Legends of Evergreen Hills, whatever that is.
It's the hills where the chickens grow up.
You know that?
No, I'm just this assuming.
Like a little bit like Adventures in Odyssey. Did anybody do... That was probably like a Baptist thing.
Yeah.
Like a Focus on the Family adjacent.
Yeah.
Like, I could see, you know, like a Veggie Tales, but with chickens, you know?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Chicky Tales, yeah. I could see it. Yeah. Got kid-friendly podcasts.
Sure. Oh, we should get on there. We're kid-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not...
I mean, this is a great idea.
I don't think we're kid-friendly. We're not, like... vulgar, but
right?
Right.
But kid friendly.
Kids
different.
Aren't going to dig it. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's fair. That's a different bar. Yeah,
games, jokes, and conversation starters.
I got your jokes right here.
And then
jokes for days.
Video based recipes and crafts.
Video based recipes like.
There's also
cooking
be
demonstrations.
A game show produced by the creators of the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, which is about a suicide. So.
Oh goodness.
That is a terrifying game show. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, Chick-fil-A. Let's see what you come up with.
Are you going to be a Chick-fil-A Play subscriber?
No, I will not be.
No.
It is free, by the way. I just want to make that.
It does not
have a cost.
No.
So the problem is, this is what I've learned recently, is that people put all sorts of stuff into those terms and conditions, especially for free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a good chance that, like, you sign up for that, and now you can't sue them when you get salmonella from their chicken. That's, like, going to be the thing.
No such thing as a free lunch.
I don't want to do that.
Sure.
Also, just, no, I don't need that. That's right. Fine. You're tempted, aren't you?
Why?
You're thinking about it.
But just why?
Right.
What is Chick-fil-A doing? You know, like,
yeah,
it's a good question.
Yeah.
We should get them on the podcast. Be like, listen, Chick-fil-A. Question number one, how dare you?
You know, like my family needs to connect more.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A app.
Let's get the Chick-fil-A app. Let's
right,
get it.
With video-based recipes.
So that we can...
We're going out to Chick-fil-A because we don't want to cook.
Right. But now we can watch someone make the food that we didn't want to cook while we eat Chick-fil-A.
The healthy food
I mean,
while
is it supposed to, like, how to, like, make Chick-fil-A tasting food
at home?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it's like Chick-fil-A mac and cheese at home.
Oh, well, now we're interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've tried, you know, I've stumbled upon the Chick-fil-A chicken recipes.
Yeah.
The secret ingredient is pickle juice.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Ugh.
But oftentimes it's too heavy. Like, yeah, Chick-fil-A has the balance, right? Other people try to go for the pickle juice brine and it gets too pickly.
Well, they also put powdered sugar in it, too.
I mean, whatever they do, they get it right, as opposed to the people who try to impersonate it who get too pickly.
Yeah. I've heard that Aldi, this is for free, I've heard that Aldi has some frozen chicken nuggets that taste as good as or better than Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
Aldi,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to cancel this podcast and I'm going to go to Aldi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it closed on Sundays?
The app?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't work at all.
Kicks you off the internet.
And actually, when you're logged in, it shuts down your entire internet in your home on Sundays for you.
No recipes for you, sinner.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one I saw is Chick Flicks. You know, you can
Chick Flicks.
Yes.
It's not bad. Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna talk to chicks on the internet.
Yikes.
Through the Chick-fil-A app.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, what's your favorite dipping sauce?
They're going to launch a dating service next.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, you pick your dipping sauce, not that connection with other people.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, yeah. You take a quiz. Which dipping sauce are you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm into Polynesian girls.
Good Lord. All right. Move on. Right now.
Why though? It feels like there's more conversation to be had.
No,
there
is not.
There's a lot more jokes.
This conversation needs to stop. What's our real conversation today, Patrick? What do we got?
What would you say if this was it?
I'd say podcast over.
Why can't we talk to each other anymore?
Okay.
Because somebody's shutting down our Chick-fil-A dating
because
conversation.
You are bordering on very inappropriate jokes and I'm trying to save you from getting canceled. And
It's harder than that to get canceled.
No, it's not.
People got to listen first.
Right, yeah, that's...
Too fair. Too sure.
Yeah. I mean, really, we're endangering us not getting picked up by the Chick-fil-A app.
Dang it.
That was going to be our shop.
Look, I'm willing to sell out, by the way.
Yeah, totally, 100%.
You want to be the Chick-fil-A podcast?
Absolutely.
Beyond Sunday, brought
Show
to you by
me
Chick-fil-A.
The money.
Yeah, closed on Sunday. That's
right. We changed the podcast name to Closed on Sunday.
All right, why can't we talk to each other anymore?
Why can't we? many reasons.
Yeah. So that's our headline here from Christianity Today by Caitlin Schess.
Caitlin Schess?
Caitlin Schess.
How's she spelling Schess?
How do you think it's spelled?
I think Patrick's mispronouncing Shay.
No, I actually,
S-H-E-S-S?
Yes, S-C-H-E-S-S.
S-C-H-I-E-S-S.
Skeese.
It's Schess.
Geis.
I've heard her speak on a different podcast.
Did she say her name?
And she said her name was Schess.
Fine.
So
fine. No. Schess. Okay.
Oh, Skeese, Skeese.
Did I get Caitlin right? I don't know.
Okay.
It's gonna wind. It's
Caitlin.
One of those.
Caitlin Skeese. Perfect.
Caitlin Geese?
If we're known for anything, it's for being good with names.
That's right. It's one of our strengths on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's why on the Chick-fil-A app, it's not gonna be a problem.
That's right.
It's mostly numbers.
You can write in, Caitlin. Let us know.
I want a number one. See, I can handle that.
Yeah.
All right. So she is writing, trying to talk through this question. Why can't we talk to each other anymore? All right. And so, you know, we felt like since we do have an election coming up and
a week away, 8 days,
ever increasing political.
Maybe, depending on where you are.
Well, it's still open. It's just long.
It just depends on where you are.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
in Texas,
it is open.
Yeah.
Have y'all already voted?
I've not, as of recording, I've not yet.
Going tomorrow.
I will probably be going on Friday, so hopefully shortly.
I can't go with you because you're in a different county.
That's true. I'm in Harris.
Yeah. We could go together. You want to go? Yeah. Maybe voting buddies?
Let's go vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You know, it
probably won't happen.
It is kind of a shame that that's the only thing that I do as an adult that warrants a sticker.
I know. Like, they don't give you one at the dentist anymore either.
Have you seen some of the stickers?
I've seen some of
them. John Oliver did a thing about this where, like, Michigan let people, like, design their voter stickers.
And a werewolf on it.
And then the werewolf is, like, ripping of an American flag shirt. Like, I voted.
Amazing.
I know. Mine just has, like, a little flag that says I voted.
If I had a werewolf sticker, man, I'd wait in line for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to wait in line either way.
I'd be like, I'm here for just the sticker.
You got to go to different polling places, like in the McDonald's competitions.
To collect them all.
Yeah, so you got to catch them all.
I'm pretty sure they frown on that.
Voting in multiple polling places? Yeah, that's probably not.
Evidently, it's fine, according
to some
people.
Things we should no longer joke about.
Right.
All right. Basically, you know, Caitlin does not divide her article into a handy-dandy list like our relevant friends.
Oh, man. Okay. So we've got to come up with like our own ideas about why we can't talk to each other.
Well, I mean, I'll give you some of what she's going to be saying.
Okay.
So first she tells a story. So
Love a story.
She's going to lead a Bible study for her church.
Okay.
And
big mistake. Just kidding.
That's the first
one. Right. Womp womp.
And basically it was a sign up for a weekly women's Bible study, and she signed up late.
Sure.
And, the only
and
one
so was, because she signed up late, she had to lead it?
Well,
no. Well, the only slot left
to lead,
was on Sodom and Gomorrah.
So they were signing up to lead.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
She signed up for
Sodom and Gomorrah.
I love it.
Taking a big bite out of that.
That's a good story. It's
a great story. Well, great. Great results. It's a very interesting story that I think we might be going over next week on the podcast.
Oh, is that next week?
Oh, okay.
That'll be next week.
All right.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
In the Bible episodes, we will go through what are commonly called the hammer verses about hammer homosexuality.
Yeah.
At least let's take a look at them, say what we, you know.
Let's do it.
And Sodom and Gomorrah is one of those verses. So basically, you know, she, and maybe we will next week, approach from the lens of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days before she was going to give her lesson, her governor in her state enacted a ban on any refugee settlement in the state.
Oh, okay.
And so it kind of led her to believe, to kind of naturally like...
Talk about that.
I'm going to tie these two things together.
Yeah.
Right.
She's talking a story about hospitality, about foreigners coming into a city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a governor making a ban of foreigners coming into their city.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like these things go together.
Yeah.
We should talk about how they might be connected.
Anyway, led the Bible study. And
poor
then
thing.
And then the next day, got a call from her pastor saying some women came to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to talk to her.
Dun, dun, dun. The pastor being her boss at this point, I'm assuming.
I assume.
In some capacity.
In some capacity.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, now she's, you know, obviously rattling through her head, like.
What went wrong?
What went wrong? What are they going to say? How do I get prepare to combat whatever is said against me.
Yeah.
It's getting your defense attorneys circling the wagons. Yeah. What do I need to do to
loading my verbal guns. Mm-hmm. Yes.
she's not in Texas, so it's just verbal guns.
Right, it's like not the actual sidearms.
That might be there too.
My Desert Eagle's ready to go.
Yeah.
Wow. Pulled out Desert Eagle real fast there. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, so now she's gonna stick to like this idea of like, why can't we talk to each other anymore? Like, what is what? And
well, did they talk to each other? Curiosity peaked.
Great. I'll give you her ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the ladies from the church went to the pastor and asked, like, what can we do more for refugees?
Yeah.
And that's like a happy ending.
It had a happy ending, but she was coming in with kind of like,
I'm in trouble.
Older women.
Yep.
Church. I got to be ready to fight for my position on hospitality. Right.
Also, like, the pastor could have headed this off by saying, the women had some great things to say about your Bible study. I'd love to talk to you about this.
Just while we're here, don't ever call me and tell me that you need to talk to me. And
some people came to talk to me about you, and I'd love to talk to you about
anything. Do not do that to
me. That's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. I would also be like, don't do that to me.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Could have headed this off at the
past. You don't do it either, but I feel like you would be more likely to be in a position to maybe do it. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
Sure. So I think now we have to start asking the same questions. Like, what is it difficult to talk to each other? And she's kind of approaching it from especially within a widening political divide.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she's got a couple reasons, but I want to just throw that out there. Why is it harder to talk to people on the opposite side of the divide?
Mm. It seems like we have an increasingly diverse understanding of what facts are supposed to mean. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean that as a joke, but it did kind of come off.
But it's funny. It's
like,
funny.
It's like suddenly we think we can come up with our own facts and that we can just ignore other facts. And this is not like one side or the other. I think there are probably times that I'm guilty of this too, that we can look at one side of a story and not pay attention to the other side of that. And we think that that's okay. And I think that is causing that or that gap to widen further and further.
Yeah. There's also no like, or at least there's very little like respectful discourse anymore. It's like we don't know how to have a conversation that is respectful about different viewpoints. Everything is so charged, right?
Yeah,
like
sure.
It's, you know, my fourth grader is having awkward conversations at lunch where people are like, you know why Kamala is stupid and you know why Trump is dangerous and all this stuff. And, you know, I may agree with one or both of those things, but I don't recall, you know,
being in fourth grade and having that conversation.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think we've definitely, you know, the Bible asks us to be slow to anger. Mm-hmm. And I think we've become very quick to anger. Obviously, I think that we just live in a very angry world right now. And that anger got to go somewhere. Right.
Sure.
Like, and so typically it's the opposite side of the political party. But it's now like it's no longer enough. Like, I can't be angry at that politician, because I'm actually never going to interact with that person.
Yeah.
Right.
But I am going to interact with somebody who's going to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who I'm going to be angry at.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm angry at the politician, but I can't do anything with that. But I can do something against the voters. Like,
right.
So like that makes it much more easy to kind of do. I also, you know, I did think like that idea of like we just live in two different worlds. Right. Like, because you mentioned like we have different facts. Mm-hmm. And I think we also have different news that we're kind of getting those facts from. And social media is now kind of, the algorithm is curated, right? Like what we like, we get more of. And so what we watch, you just get, so if you watch things that are more right wing or left wing, you're going to get more right wing or left wing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that's all you get. Yeah. And then it's very easy to live in a world where like the only news I'm getting is news that kind of feeds my preconceived ideas already.
Sure.
And anything that's different is fake news.
Yeah.
Like, that's not real news.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, we got that one thing.
And I think there is something to say, like, there is a lot of reason for people to be angry in the world right now.
Sure,
right? Like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't feel right, that doesn't feel like it's going well for people, where people are hurting, where people, you know, even like, you know, this is a bad example that's been taken way out of context, but right in the midst of trying to send aid to people in Palestine or to people in Ukraine, we're also struggling to provide aid for people who are suffering from hurricane disasters right here in the United States. Now, that story can be taken in a million different directions. But both things are true, right? There are people who are really hurting in Ukraine, and there are people who are really hurting right here in the United States. And so you can pull those little pieces of information and turn that into whatever story you want to tell about the world and how that affects a politician or how it affects the person that you're talking to next door or whatever that might be. But the reality is that people are really hurting, right? There are people who are out of work. There are people who are hungry. There are people who used to have jobs who don't have jobs anymore because of the way a certain economy has gone or not gone, right? All of these things are true, and then it's just a matter of spinning out how we tell that story and how we blame someone for that pain, and that anger needs to go somewhere in some cases. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. So I think, this makes it much more challenging, right? And the heavy hitter words get thrown out pretty easily and pretty quickly of, if you're on the wrong side of the abortion debate, you're a baby killer. If you're on the wrong side of an immigration debate, you're a fascist.
Yeah.
Very easily, those labels are tossed out without, very, very quickly. And and then what do I do? Right. If somebody out there says you're a baby killer, how does the conversation really progress?
Right.
what's next on that step? Or if you say you're a fascist, how does the conversation go? What's the next step in that conversation supposed to be?
Right.
That's ending it. It's kind of okay.
You can say no, I'm not, or you can say thank you.
I don't want to talk to people who call me a fascist.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to people who'd call me a baby killer.
Right.
So the conversation is just okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously nothing here to talk about.
Right.
So I think that's part of why we can't talk to each other anymore. Mm-hmm.
I think a piece of that too, right, is that we've jumped to demonization of the individual rather than an articulate argument about the policy, right? When we were talking about immigration, there are lots of ways that we could have a border policy, that we could have an immigration policy. And there are lots of different opinions on how that could work or not work. But instead of, debating the merits of a particular policy in one direction or another, we attack one another as fascists, or we attack the people who are coming across the border as, eating our pets or whatever that might be, right? Yeah. We just make ridiculous, outlandish, unfounded claims rather than saying here's a policy, here's what that policy has done over the last 10 years. Is this working for us? I don't think it's working for me. How do you think it's working? And having a conversation based in reality.
And there's also really nobody with moderate political views that's getting any airtime right now.
Sure.
Right. That's the thing that's kind of gone away.
Yeah,
it's kind of one extreme or another, right?
Yeah.
And it's, there are a lot of us that exist kind of somewhere in between the two, but we never talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not what is getting the airtime.
Well, historically, in the primary season, the candidates would kind of be more extreme to their bases.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they were the candidate, they would kind of pivot more towards
the middle.
The middle.
Yeah.
And
counting on the base to show up no matter what.
Yeah,
and
the base is
going to
show
up,
and now we got to win those independents, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to kind of get to the middle. And it seems starting in 2016 with Donald Trump, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We're doubling down on the extremes. And then I think, on the last aspect here before we can kind of get into Kaylin here, I think when we put pen to paper or pop out a little thing on a thing or press a button on a computer to vote for a candidate, we instantly, by human nature, become tribalistic for that candidate and for that side.
Yeah.
And that's, we chose a side, and it's real hard to say I chose the wrong side. It's just instinctively part of humanity. It's just really hard to do that. And even if all evidence in your own personal life would say I think that was the wrong side.
Yeah.
It's just so difficult to pull back.
Yeah.
We don't like that cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So that's why we seek out the news that affirms our position. Or we kind of seek out the people that tell us my point of view is the correct and and good one. And the other side is obviously the bad one. So I think that's just, part of humanity, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. So she does kind of mention social media on why it can be difficult. And part of why she says is if you're talking about politics or reading about politics online, one, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the conversation about it online is not very friendly, and it has a lot of anger, a lot of cruelty.
Sure.
And half the time, you're talking to like either trolls or people who will never change their point of view based on an online conversation at all, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's basically everybody, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so since we spend so much time doing that online, when it's time to do that in person, one, we already assume that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Or two, we're just so exhausted by it, we don't even want to like engage in it.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things. So maybe, you know, any response to kind of this kind of mindset here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can't just lay all the blame at the feet of social media. I think it is a culprit. But I think that we also bring ourselves into social media and it perhaps exacerbates the worst of us,
sure.
Right? And so I think there's a portion of the population who was probably already angry and already not really doing a great job of talking to one another, and they found a home in the internet where it's even easier to express that, right? Because there's anonymity, there's distance, you can say whatever you want, and there's little to no repercussions over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're still at least in a world where if you start yelling at someone in a parking lot over an issue, there's probably gonna be some kind of consequence, right? Even if that consequence is just you have to like leave the parking lot, right? I mean, but you can just do whatever you want on the internet, and it's practically no holds bar,
right?
And so I think we've brought the worst of ourselves, and it has exacerbated that. Now, yeah, it's not entirely social media's fault, but they have definitely they have found what sells and have found a way to capitalize on that.
Yeah, I think we did an episode on this in a different way about the internet and social media, where it's kind of the double-edged sword of the internet, right? Is it allows you to find your tribe, and it can also isolate you, right?
Yeah.
And it can isolate you from people that have different viewpoints from yours and make them kind of othered, right? So,
I mean, the original, in the like kind of utopian vision of what the internet was supposed to be, we're like as far away from that as possible right now,
sure.
Right?
Like the free sharing of information.
Yeah. And now it's like, I mean, I guess in some ways people are still claiming for the free sharing of information, but the free sharing of information is all like fake, false,
now
made up
stories.
Now we
have robots like, that give us bad information.
Right. It's like, this is not the information that we're in. And so we've, taken this utopian opportunity to communicate with people around the world and share ideas, and instead have taken it to yell at one another and to hate our neighbor even more intently than we did before.
Ain't it just like human nature?
Well, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
I mean, even... So in the original story of the Bible, right, Genesis, we've got Cain and Abel. Cain kills his brother, and Cain is banished off, and like cities spawn off of Cain's descendants. And so there's something to be said for like all these people who collected themselves and started protecting their own ideals came from the first person to kill his brother, as opposed to those who were living, I mean, granted, Adam and Eve fell to, right? But they were living and trying to trust God and rely on God as kind of a more agricultural society rather than building up this. Anyway, there's a big critique of cities and of people coming together in that particular way throughout Genesis as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like cities.
I like cities too, but
I like the restaurant aspect.
And I'm not saying that we all need to go become farmers or anything like that. I don't think that's the purpose of the story either, but
the idea that civilization kind of sprang from a crime.
Well, civilization sprang from a crime, and civilization springs from people coming together around a particular way of trying to protect ourselves from outsiders, right? And like, what does that look like? And
sure, walled cities.
Yeah, walled cities.
Sure.
Which were arguably like the first cities,
the only
right?
cities.
At the time, if you were gonna have a city, you needed a wall.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I think that this is all good stuff, right? Like we're thinking. I found a quote from Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Let's do it.
I don't really like Mike Tyson.
Can you do it in a Mike Tyson voice?
Yeah, can you?
Mike Tyson.
There it is. Nailed it.
Basically, he's like, social media got us far too comfortable for saying whatever we want without risk of being punched in the face.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And obviously, you know.
I think he's a little liberal with the facey punching, but.
But, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And your point, you could say whatever you want without free of consequence.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't he beat somebody up on an airplane recently?
Yes.
We're not endorsing
not
him as a person.
Guy. Okay. You know.
Well, he does live by that, doesn't he?
Yes.
Which I respect, you know.
Yeah. Not a great human. But I think that is a correct thing. That is that. And I think also we have, like, I've read people, we talked about way back when about QAnon and things like that. Mm-hmm. About people who fully dove in. And ultimately it cost them basically every relationship they've ever had. You know, their wives, their children, everything. And then they became so sunk in, like, if I'm wrong, then it was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Then I lost everything for nothing.
Yeah.
And so I have to be right. Like, it has to be true. Like, I have to be on the right side or else I lost everything for nothing. And I think that's part of this too, right? Like, why can't I talk to the other side? Well, because I have to be right or else part of my identity starts to crash. And if I talk to the other side and they say a point, or if they seem like a reasonable human being who's voting for a candidate I hate, that challenges my identity. Because my side is reasonable and my side is good and not your side. And so I cannot live with that cognitive dissonance. So it's easier just like, I'm just not going to have those conversations because I don't want the other side to seem kind or reasonable or that they care for their families and their communities and they volunteer at soup kitchens and they donate food to the food bank and things like that because only good people do those things.
Yeah.
And if you're a good person, you're not a good person, you know. So I think that's part of the, you know, the challenge as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough out there, and it's not like there's not like an easy fix, right? No. We can't just turn it around and say like, "Oh, this is the thing." But I think there are ways in which we can relearn a skill that we lost. I don't know that this was the only thing that did it, but I think that COVID isolation really did hurt a lot of our interpersonal skills in general, including this. And it's not that we're like all went into hermitcy or whatever, but that just escalated a lot of stuff that was already happening. It made social media that much more prevalent. It made our tendency to isolate that much more prevalent. It made our connections with those who agree with us that much more, that much stronger, right? It was like all of these things just were hyper something escalated. We'll go with that. Yeah, they were escalated.
Mm-hmm. So I did see a pastor on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
An ELCA pastor, a colleague of yours.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Do I want to claim this
It
colleague?
Was you.
All right. He's been on the podcast, Pastor David Hansen.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
ELCA pastor in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, like, I used to be part of a big tent church.
Mm.
I'm not sure I am anymore.
Yeah. But so I saw the headline of what he shared. What was the thrust of what he was talking? Because the way that I read it was that he didn't think we should be a big tent church anymore.
There's some
what is a big tent church?
Big tent, not big, big ten. Tent. Big tent.
Yeah. It's like we're a college football team.
Right? SEC only.
Like, we get first draft pick.
No, listen. If we're gonna be a church, we're gonna be a Big Ten church, all right? Because Lutherans are hail from the Midwest, but that's a different thing altogether. No, the big tent church would be the idea that there's room for a lot of ideas. We're a big tent. Lots of different. Yeah, you can have diversity of ideas and opinions and things like that.
Yeah. And so some of it was a lament and some of it was an excitement.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we need to not be that. We need to be a small tent church. Basically, people who kind of already think like us.
Mm.
You know, that should be a church.
Yeah.
And what do we think? Is it possible for there to be a big tent church in America anymore?
Mm. Is it... I mean, with God, all things are possible. So is it possible? Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, okay. God can do that. But it's not going to come about. It's not going to come about without work from people on both sides and without a clear understanding of what unites us. Right. I think the key to the big tent is that you all have to know what the roof of the tent is.
Yeah.
And you all have to agree that's the roof of the tent. And right now, I think there are ways in which, you know, we're maybe trying to be a big tent church, but we're arguing about what the roof of the tent is.
Mm.
Yeah. And rather than saying, like, no, the roof of the tent is Jesus Christ crucified and risen and whatever other central thing, like, that's the roof, right? And then we can figure out this other stuff and we can, you know, continue to talk about that. But, yeah, I think right now we're arguing about the roof.
Yeah.
We're making these other things feel like they're supposed to be the roof. I think we would all say, yeah, Jesus Christ crucified and risen. But I think we're arguing about these other things, pretending like they're the roof, pretending like they're the tent that we have to be in.
Yeah, I think too, in America, in nowadays, you know, our primary identity is no longer coming from Christianity. Our faith, it's coming from our politics.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the biggest challenge to that. Like, and how do you reverse that? I don't really know. Like, how do you say, like, hey, our primary identity should come from Jesus? And everybody's like, yeah, it should. But I really spend more time talking about, thinking about, or arguing about politics than I ever do about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, yeah, I spend my hour on Sunday morning and then I watch CNN or MSNBC or Fox News for 8 hours, you know, during the week. Or all my podcasts or my my radio. Yeah. So it's like, well, that's your identity. And I think politics in America is the identity now. Like, that's just where we're getting that from.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, then I don't think there can be a big tent church, because the roof cannot be politics and everybody can,
agreed, be on it. Agreed.
And so that becomes much more challenging. And I think maybe I have to even look in the mirror on myself and say, is that my primary identity? And I'm a church worker, and I would be like, oh, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that becomes much more challenging to, can't just call out the other side. Got to look at got to look inwardly too.
Yeah, but that's not fun. We don't want to do that.
That's substantially less. That's
way,
for sure,
way more fun to point fingers. And I think that's a reasonable point. And, there's certainly work that we can do. One of the things that we talk about here at Lore of Life is, that all are welcome. And one of the struggles or growing edges that I have for myself when we talk about all are welcome is that us saying all people are welcome does not mean all people will feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is like a nuance that I've been trying to figure out how to capture. So if I don't do it well, then y'all maybe can help me out. Right. So because I welcome person X, let's say person X is in the LGBT group or in a particular race or whatever, that or they're a refugee. Right. Because I welcome person X, who I firmly believe God stands with and loves and embraces, because I welcome them, person Y over here is going to feel like I'm saying they're not allowed because they disagree with refugee resettlement, or they disagree with LGBTQ rights or whatever, right? They're not going to feel welcome. Even though I say, no, person Y, you're still welcome, come here. They're not going to feel welcome in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I don't know how we want to think about that within the context of the big tent, right? And as my framework is still that, person Y is still welcome. Right, you're not going to be welcome if you're going to come in and spout hate speech every single week. We're not going to tolerate certain behaviors, but you as a person, you as an individual, are still welcome and still loved by God in this space. And it's a nuance that's really hard to get our heads around, because it's not what the tents of politics say, right?
Yeah,
with the tents of politics, it's clearly defined. You're in, you're out, and we move forward in our two separate tents. Mm-hmm. And if you're floating around in the third tent, then you're just a weirdo who nobody knows what's going on with you. And from the context of the politics, I'm not saying that the world is saying that, right?
And
because I think that, frankly, I think that I float around in that third tent. I'm like, I don't fit in either of these places, right?
Sure, right.
Yeah. There's plenty of sections in both tents where I'm like, I don't want to go there.
Right.
So what you're saying is we need a three-ring tent.
Three-ring circus.
Three-ring circus.
Yes.
Each of the rings got something, a trinity.
A father, a son, yes, and a Holy Spirit ring.
A conservative, a liberal, a weirdos.
Yeah. The weirdos.
I embrace the weirdos. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Look, I did see on the Daily Show basically people who are like independents, or like people who are like haven't made their mind up about Trump yet. Like, what needs to happen, right?
Right. Like, how much more does he need to show you?
Like, he's been on the political scene for 10 years now.
Right. Yeah.
What?
You could make your mind up.
Either you're in or you're out. Yeah. Like, what? I do not get it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who out there has been like, I want to hear a little bit more.
I just need to see more from him.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I get him.
Yeah. At any rate, within the context of this conversation and within our dividedness in church, I think there is room for the church to create space where we can have these difficult conversations in a more intentional way.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to teach people how to do it.
Yeah.
We can't just assume that people know how to come in and have a hard conversation. We're going to have to say, like, kindergarten for difficult conversations. Here's how you're going to sit and listen and repeat back to someone else what they said before you're allowed to talk, right? Like, you have to be able to express
use I statements.
Right, yeah. You're going to have to express their main point before you make your own point. You're going to have to talk about yourself. You're not going to be allowed to attack the other person, right? Like,
I feel like...
Yeah, we're going to have to set the... I feel like you're being a jerk right now.
Exactly.
We're going to have to set those boundaries and teach people how to do this. I think there is an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take really intentional and hard work on the part of the church to accomplish it. And it's going to take it offline, right? It's not going to be a conversation that can happen in our current understanding of how social media exists.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, I want to learn how to have this conversation, do not start by going out to whatever social media post and saying, who here wants to, have a... Like, that's not a good place to do that. Come find someone in person, have mutual agreements.
For sure.
Set boundaries,
Yeah, yeah. I think, when it comes to like the big tent, little tent thing, I understand the idea that maybe it's time for a shift to a little tent congregation. You know, maybe the ELCA has a niche that we could kind of ease into. But I think if you want to be a big tent, you're not going to get there if you don't believe it's possible, right?
Sure.
And so, and sometimes you have to behave as if that thing is possible for that to become a thing. So, like, I really hope that we still push a little bit on that and we don't just say, oh, yeah, we're going to be like the little super liberal niche. Like, I want to be the super liberal niche that is also like, but we span all of this territory, you know, like, and you can still be here even if you're
because
super liberal. Like,
God does not call us to be a super liberal niche, right?
That
is not God's call in the church.
Right.
God's call in the church is to be transformative for the world.
Yeah.
Right. And that is liberal and that is conservative and that is rich and that is poor and that is hungry and that is fed the world, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so if we as a church can't take up seriously a call to be transformative for the world, some people are going to find that more appealing than others.
Right.
And yes, we should not cow or what's the word? Kowtow? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should not kowtow to people who want us to, you know, bend to the will of the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's not the goal either. But we're still called to be church for the world.
Yeah.
Not church for a niche.
Yeah. Any organization, political party or tent that says we want to be smaller, we want to be a smaller tent, and those other people on the fringes need to be kicked out, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there are always going to be people on the fringes, and so it's always going to be a way. Actually, we should be even smaller.
Like, drill down and down and down.
And smaller, smaller, and smaller. Yeah. And then suddenly people who are, like, 98% with you are on the outside, right? Because, like, it does not stop. Like, that's just when you say this is our niche, our point of view, and to be a part of this, you have to share in our point of view. Soon nobody has that point of view, right? Like, that's just, I think, part of it, so... I don't want to be a part of a church that says we're the church for we're a church just for liberals.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And
that's insular too, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
even if that feels most welcoming to you, that is also insular.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. All right.
We got hard work ahead of us, people.
Yeah.
But hey, it's like
not me because I'm not employed here.
Well,
hey, you got to live in this world.
If the person I vote for wins office, and it'll all be fixed.
That's right. There it is.
Right.
Thank goodness that person we voted for.
Yeah. And then if they don't, I don't know. The world might be destroyed. I have no idea.
Assault. Yeah. Yeah. But hey, as of day of release, 8 days. Go vote.
Yeah. And still time to early vote.
Still time to, yeah. And you know what? On November 6th, something's going to happen. But God is still going to have a purpose for the church. And as a church, we're going to have to continue to figure out how to exist and be a source of transformation and love for the world. And we're going to have to figure out how to do that, regardless of who's in office, regardless of what the election looks like. As a church, we still have a responsibility to do
for
that.
Sure.
So that's what we're going to be talking about and figuring out here at Lord of Life, is how to be church.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back. Are you at more? Is that?
I mean, I didn't like wrap us up.
Wrap us up.
All right. Just send us an email. Tell us who you voted for. That'll be fun.
We don't want that information.
No, we don't.
No.
You can find all our podcasts, beyondsundaypodcast.com. Do that. That'll be great.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.